Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
We'll move on. And I think Rory McIlroy is doing well at the moment in the Canadian Open, but the real story that's going on in golf this weekend still, and I think people who've never played or maybe watched a hole of golf in their life have been riveted by this extraordinary story. It kind of played out as most things do, gradually and then suddenly, and our own Rory McIlroy was the big human drama at the centre of it. RT's Greg Allen has been following every move in the unfolding LIV golf story, and he's here. Morning, Greg. Thanks for coming.
Morning, Brendan.
Greg, before we get to the drama, still kind of unfolding all the time and people saying stuff and everything else and temperatures running high, just give people a quick background to the LIV story.
Well, LIV Golf has become the big disruptor in golf. The original idea was called the Premier Golf League. It was to be funded by an American hedge fund, effectively. And Saudi Arabia, through the Public Investment Fund, basically raided the idea and transformed it into their own Saudi Golf League. They poured in so much money so quickly that they blew the Premier Golf League, which was almost a legitimate type of league by comparison to what LIV has become back about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So, but they fast-tracked it, Saudi did. They took the idea, effectively stole the idea, and they turned it into LIV Golf, which actually had its debut on June the 9th last year, 366 days ago. And that's how much the world of golf has changed in that period of time. And LIV Golf has been a disruptor, but it hasn't been terribly successful as an entity itself. It's got a very poor television deal. It has had, you know, massive prize funds for some of the world's best players, it has to be said. Like, they paid more than $100 million for Dustin Johnson to sign a contract, $120 million for Cameron Smith, the Open champion, to sign a contract. We don't know exactly how much they paid Brooks Koepka, but he is now the biggest star because he was second in the Masters and he won the last major championship just 3 weeks ago. So they are riding high with, you know, pretty good, momentum.
Like, they had started getting good guys over,
Except around April time, they lost two critical court cases, one against the DP World Tour, which reserved the right to basically suspend players and fine them. And the LIV, obviously, those players who went from the DP World Tour, which is the old European Tour, you know, they then countersued the tour because they said, well, I know we shouldn't have to be suspended from playing on the DP World Tour. But LIV lost that case in April. A week later, their anti-competition case against the PGA Tour suffered a setback, which effectively meant that it was going to be kicked down the road for up to two more years. And within a week of that, there was a meeting in Surrey, initiated by Amanda Staveley, who is one of the directors of Newcastle United Football Club, which is owned by the PIF, the Saudi Arabian Wealth Fund. And that was the beginning of what were negotiations, which were back-channel negotiations, essentially. Jimmy Dunn and Ed Herlihy, two members of the PGA Tour's policy board. This is the biggest entity in world golf, which is the PGA Tour, mostly based in America. They began to negotiate with Yasir Al-Rumayyan, the governor of the Public Investment Fund. And just to give you a flavour, the Public Investment Fund has $650 billion in reserves. So the $2 billion that they've put into LIV is a 0.3%. So it isn't even scratching the surface of their finances. And from those negotiations, 7 weeks later, we get this shock announcement this week that there is to be a merger, because there have been lots of locking of horns involving LIV and PGA Tour and DP World Tour, lots of rhetoric about, you know, Saudi Arabia with the 15 of the hijackers for 9/11 coming from Saudi Arabia, although no relationship between the 9/11 attacks and the Saudi Arabian government have been actually made. But still, that type of rhetoric was flying around between the PGA Tour and the LIV Golf, and there's been lots of other fairly poisonous stuff being exchanged. So the merger was a shock as a result of all of that vitriol.
Okay. Now, Rory is kind of at the centre of this in a way. He's been one of the players who was most outspoken about LIV and about the colleagues who went over to LIV and everything. Yeah,
he said this week he hates LIV. And like, he said that after the merger was announced. And he doesn't hide behind anything with regard to how he regards the players who have left the PGA Tour and taken the LIV dollar. I was at a number of events last year where he just kept sticking his head above the parapet and basically solely defending the PGA Tour, because Rory is part of the PGA Tour's policy board. He's one of the players on that policy board. And thereby, he found himself in a position where he was the spokesperson, not some random player who decided to speak out, but because he had a political position within the PGA Tour's upper echelon of management. And so he had, I suppose, dug himself deeper and deeper into becoming the PGA Tour spokesman. And yet he was only informed of this by a text on Monday night to ask him to take a phone call at 6:30 on Tuesday morning. And at 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning, this was announced. It was like he's been sidelined completely.
So he's been made a fool of, really, in a way. Like it seems now that some of these guys who got whatever up to 200 million, that there's a suggestion that they might be able to waltz back into the tour with that money in their arse pockets and be in the same playing field as everyone else.
So
what's Rory supposed to have turned down? What would he?
He actually denies that he was made an offer, and there was a rumor that it was between 300 and 400 million. Dollars, which, you know, and Rory came out at the time by saying it doesn't matter how much it is. There's only so much money you can spend. And, you know, Rory has got, I would say, I'm only guessing, but I'd say there's well over 100 million in Rory's investments and all of his earnings over the years, because he is, you know, not just such a great golfer, but such a luminous figure and easily commercialized figure. In other words, he's a wonderful spokesperson for any sponsor. So, you know, Rory doesn't need any more money. There's only so much money you can spend, he said. So effectively, he treated the money in that sort of way. Tiger Woods was offered a lot more. You know, he was offered in the territory of 700 million. And that was supposedly a solid offer because Liv came out and Greg Norman came out and said that they had offered Tiger Woods in the region of 700 million. So they both turned it down. Tiger didn't really speak out initially over it, but he has become quite vocal about it. But Rory has been the person who has been the most vocal about it. And he was the most sidelined about this. And, you know, he went into the press conference.
I'm going to play a clip from that press conference. Right. So why don't we play the clip about... let's play first his feelings about Liv that Greg alluded to there. I hate
it. It's not Liv. I think that's the thing. I still hate Liv. Like, I hate Liv. Like, I hope it goes away, and I would fully expect that it does. And I think that's where the distinction here is. This is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the PIF. Very different from Liv.
And then this is his thoughts on the players who got the big money and should they be allowed back into the PGA.
You know, what that looks like for individual players in terms of bringing players back into the fold and then that, you know, sacrifices other people, that's where the anger comes from, right? And I understand that, and like there still has to be consequences to actions. You know, the people that left the PGA Tour irreparably harmed this tour, started litigation against it. Like, we can't just welcome them back in. Like, that's not going to happen.
So that's Rory on Thursday. Like, Greg, he's clearly still quite... Like, there's other bits where he's more accepting of it and saying, well, look, this is money talks and that's it. But he's clearly still quite upset. Do you have any insight into how he's feeling right now this weekend?
I'm very glad to see that he's playing pretty well in the Canadian Open and he's in contention there on 6 under par. Look, he has had to take this on the chin. So one of his best pals, and certainly one he plays golf with his father, in fact, is Jimmy Dunn. And Jimmy Dunn was the chief negotiator here on behalf of the PGA Tour. So he knows Jimmy Dunn quite well. Jimmy Dunn was the person who made the phone call to him and spoke to him and gave him the details about 2 hours before the announcement was made. Rory had to digest all of that. Then he had to do that press conference where I think for 13 minutes he pretty much held the line on, you know, what he was told by Jimmy Dunn to kind of say, if that's the right way of putting it. Yeah. And then came the words, I feel like I've been a sacrificial lamb. In other words, being put out front for a year, batting on behalf of the PGA Tour against the great invader of Liv. And suddenly he feels, and I think those words, I felt like a sacrificial lamb, are pretty much exactly where he feels right now. And he's putting something of a veneer in front of it because he knows. And I think it's been sold to him that 10 years down the line, when all the kerfuffle is sort of melted away, it'll just be a much, much richer tour with a much more secure future than it has right now. And he's projecting into the future. And at the end of the day, Brendan, this is business. You know, people get this idea that because sport is fun, that it's not really business. But we know Olympic Games is massive business. The World Cup in Qatar, you know, business all the way. Manchester City, business. This is now a very, very large plank in what is just pure business. business. And that's why the four people who did the negotiation had no connection with professional golf. You had the governor of the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia. You had two of the strongest members of the PGA Tour's policy board, one an expert in legal mergers and the other an investment banker. And the fourth wheel in the negotiations was the commissioner of the PGA Tour, Jay Monahan, who actually wasn't in at the start of the negotiations because his relationship with Liv was so toxic as far as Liv were concerned, because he was the one who made
the...
He spent a year making the 9/11 references.
Yeah. Listen, it's an extraordinary story and we still don't know how it's going to play out. So maybe we'll talk about it again, because like Pádraig Harrington again on Liveline yesterday saying nobody knows what's going to happen now.
Yeah, and that's the last thing about this. There is so little detail that I've no idea how they're going to negotiate players to come back from Live to the PGA Tour without being really hated by the players on the PGA Tour. Are the PGA Tour players who rejected, like Ricky Fowler rejected 75 million at a time when his career was going badly. He rejected 75 million. So does he get compensated? And really, the idea that Yasir Al-Rumayyan says that this will be sorted in a few weeks does not seem credible.
Okay, so the drama will go on. Greg Allen of RT Sport, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.